Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Zayin. And we're holding the sugya of Omer of Gidel Omer Rav. We just finished yesterday learning about the machlokas between the various shitas in the Mishnah. How do we understand the shitas in the Mishnah here, where we basically have three completely different ways, actually four, as we'll see, but there's actually very fundamental ways of understanding where a mechitza re'ua is acceptable. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can have a shayara that gives you as much space as you want, and otherwise, if you're less than a shayara, which is three people, and you only have a mechitza re'ua, whether you're an individual or you're two individuals, you only get two sa'a. Once you get up to be a shayara, then it's considered a normal mechitza. The Chachamim say you always get as much space as you want. It doesn't matter whether you're an individual, whether you're a shayara. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says that actually nobody ever gets as much space as they want. You only will get, even if you're a shayara, you will get two sa'ah per person of the shayara, not as much space as you want. Those were the three shitas. So today, we're going to discover this unusual halacha in which Rav is quoted as saying something, Rav Gidel Omer Rav says, that makes no sense, that it's possible for three people to be usur to carry because of the fact that you have five beit sa'ah. What? Nobody said that. Three people was a shayaram. We were allowing them to carry six, even according to Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. Now you're telling me that sometimes three would be usur in five? And sometimes they're mutter to carry even in seven beit sa'ah that has a mechitza ru'ua. Does that make any sense? Amar Leisa, they said to Rav Gidel, come on, man, I'm a Rav Hachi. Okay? Rav couldn't have said that. It makes no sense. Amar Lehu, listen, man, I swear upon all that's holy, okay? The Torah, the Nevi'im, the Ksuvim. What else do you want me to swear on? Yes, Rav said exactly that. Amar Rav Ashi, I understand. What is everybody thinking this is so crazy for? It makes a lot of sense to me. Why wouldn't Rav say that? Maybe all he means is like this. Remember that there was a din in the Mishnah that said, as long as you don't leave Beit Satayim empty? That was something we never even thought about before, right? Okay, what do you mean, as long as you don't leave Beit Satayim empty? Ah, so this, I think, would be the meaning. Let's say, what Rav was saying is like this. If three people needed six Beit Sat, who would circle a sheish? And they ended up overdoing it, and they made a mechitza around an area of seven beit sa'ah. What's the din? They can still carry, because even though they should have only made two per person here, but as long as there wasn't an area of two beit sa'ah that was empty, and you got three people, and three people have a right to six beit sa'ah, so because of that, even if you did seven, if what Rav is talking about, a libet Rabbi Yehuda, that is limited to six, so fine. So over there, in this case, it would be fine because you don't have two beit sa'ah over. Now, suppose these same three people only required five beit sa'ah and they didn't have things to put in to the other beit sa'ah. Now, this is assuming that we're talking about people not needing area for their things. Until now, we thought that empty from beit sa'atayim is talking about you're missing one person. Apparently, that's not the pshat. You're missing the need for, you don't have anything to put there. So it's empty. That's the point. So if you only needed five beit sa'ah and you made seven beit sa'ah, so then you wouldn't be allowed to carry even in the five. That's all that what Rav was saying. So if you ended up with a hekef that was a mechitza ru'ua and it wasn't required for a whole area of two beit sa'ah, that ruins the whole thing. That's all he's saying. Wait a minute. Wait, I thought that panui, bevat shaloye beit sa'atayim panui, which as long as you have two sa'ah that are empty, I thought that meant panui mi adam, right? In other words, that you're unable to assign two sa'ah to one person. But over here, if you got three people, how is it possible that they only, what does that mean they only need five sa'ah? This is my definition. If you have three people, that's six sa'ah, no? I mean, that's what I thought it meant. So then how could Rav say sometimes five would be usur? No? That's not what it means. When it says, as long as you don't have two sa'ah empty, it means of things. You don't have anything to put there. So if all of your clothes and everything fits into the area of Beit Sa'ah, of Beit Sa'atayim, and you have this, all this open area that you don't need, or in this case, it was three sa'ah, and you got an additional two sa'ah, there's not anything in there. It doesn't matter how many people are there. If that area is not being used, they would not matir it for a mechitza re'ua. Ah, okay, it's a whole different thing. Okay, now, another question. And here we get to a really fundamental question about this idea of mechitza re'uot. Now, remember, we've been mentioning all along that a mechitza re'ua can be defined in two ways. In terms of diurin, and this, of course, is a whole Erevin concept, that the people that are living in the area and their purposes in living there is fundamental to describing the nature of the reshus, as reshus hayochid. And therefore, we made all of the denim of Erevin based on this strange new idea of population, people that are living. And then there's the type of mechitza, that a mechitza re'ua could also be made in a way that is not a high-quality mechitza because it is semech on lovud only in having vertical pieces or only in having horizontal pieces. That would also be mechitza re'ua. Which one is more of a fundamental problem when it comes to the heter of giving the full space? Is the full space really a problem in missing the mechitza structure, or is the full place a problem in missing the number of people structure? So suppose you're a Rebbe and you live there. You'd want to bring in a little girl, or a little boy in this case, to make sure you have enough diurim, right? So in that event, we're going to see that it really does make a tremendous difference, and it turns out to be a machlokas. Which one is fascinating, how we get to this machlokas, which one is the more fundamental question? And we start by asking as follows. What defines the problem, or what defines the solution? Is the point of this heter, that we're giving you this specific heter, whether it's in terms of the mechitza, in terms of the urine, whether it's only a shayara, or whether it's even not a shayara, but it's for the purposes of living there on Shabbos, right? Suppose the situation changes. Suppose it changes in mid-Shabbos. So let's say initially you had three people, and then one of the people die in the middle of Shabbos, and now you don't have three people that are a shayara, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you should be going down to allowing only two sa'ah. I mean, instead, you've got this big area of six sa'ah, right? So now you don't even have people. So, or how about if you had two people originally, and you would put in too many people, too few people, and then you get another person, which now fills up the area and turns into shayara in the middle of Shabbos, okay? So, I mean, is it, what defines it? Does what defines it the current situation, or does what define it, like we had in so many cases, what was the status at the beginning of Shabbos? So we were talking about muktzah, hov huktzah ben hashmashas, reigns muktzah kol haShabbos. Is that true about mechitzas or about diurim? Now, whatever defined the status of this area before Shabbos, this is an area you're allowed to carry in, remains defining that Shabbos, unless, of course, it's a change in the actual Rishus. I mean, obviously, you can't continue to carry in Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid, which became a Rishus HaRabim because all of its walls collapsed. I mean, that's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about in terms of these Heterim and Erevin definitions. That's the issue. We have Machlokas, Ravun, and Rabbi Yitzchak. We're not sure who says what. One of them says it all is defined by Shabbos. Whatever the din was at the beginning of Shabbos, that's how it remains. Doesn't matter if somebody dies, it remains mutter. Doesn't matter if somebody joins them and now becomes a caravan, remains also if it's too big. Whereas the other one says, no, it's the number of current people that are living there. That's what defines everything. Well, you say you don't know who said what? I know. I'll prove it to you. It's got to be Rav Huna who says that everything is defined by what the status was on the beginning of Shabbos. Because Rabbah said that I myself asked Rav Huna, and I also asked Rav Yehuda, that what would be if you have two chatzerot that were joined together by a door, okay, a door meaning an entranceway, and remember, you can choose if you have an entryway between two chatzerot, you can choose to make an eruv between the two chatzerot, right? And both of you can make yourselves into one chatzer, if you like. Now, suppose the wall collapses and seals off the door in the middle of Shabbos. So now I still want to be able to pass things. I mean, I got all my food in the kitchen in the other chutzner. They want to pass it to me through the window, right? So can I take it through the window, or is it no good? Because now we're ruined. We no longer are considered to be one Rishus with an Erev because we don't live together anymore. So what's it then? And he told me, this is Rav Huna, mind you, that Shabbat ki all depends what it was at the beginning of the day. If it was the beginning of the day, it was considered to be one chatzar. You could still pass the cholin through the hole in the window wall, even though the door has been shut by a collapse. Ah, okay. Then I got to admit it. We now know who said what. Tistayema was obviously Rav Huna, who said that it all goes according to the beginning of Shabbos, and therefore it's Rabbi Yitzchak who says it goes according to current status. Now, and here's where we get to the exciting part about looking at the diurin versus the mechitza, or the mechitza versus the diurin. Because it occurs to us that this machlokas of Rav Huna Rav Yitzchak about what determines things, the beginning of Shabbos, the number of people, is actually a machlokas tanoim. Because, shall we say, the Rav Huna Rav Yitzchak are arguing in the machlokas of Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, because we got a Mishnah later on in the Masechta that if you have a chatzar where two walls collapse, I'm going to explain this in a moment, or a house where two walls collapse, or a mavi where two walls collapse. Now, in all of these cases, when we say two walls, we end up understanding later on in the Gemara on that Mishnah, it doesn't mean two walls on either sides. It means a corner. And the corner wrecks things. Remember why a corner wrecks things? Because it's not the derech to make an opening in a corner. So normally, even if there would have been an opening of less than 10 amas somewhere else, or 10 amas or less, I should say, is anywhere else, it would have been okay. But since in this case, we've got a problem that the house has got an opening in the corner that opens into Rosh Hashanah, or a chatzar that now opens, it's no longer normal chatzar because it's got an opening in the corner, less than 10, but nonetheless, it's not in a normal place to make an entrance. Same thing is true about a mavoi, where the mavoi lost its korah. So the it should say korav, or lechayo. So the korah fell down, or the lechi falls down in the middle of Shabbos. So here it says, all of those cases, they're still considered to be, remember, as far as the real halacha d'oraisa of Rishus HaYachid, all of these things are pure Rishus HaYachid. Nothing has changed except for the inyan of the Rabbana. The house has got a roof, and that roof is pitikra yored v'sotem. And over here we have three mechitzas on our mavoi, and it's considered to be Rishus HaYachid, and so on and so forth. The only problem is the Chachomim demanded that there be the lechi or the kara or whatever the case is. So what's the din? So here it says they're mutter for that Shabbos, says the Tanakhama. And we'll see who that is in a moment. They're mutter for that Shabbos, but if you want to carry in them next Shabbos, you got to fix it. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says, oh, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, either they're mutter or they're not mutter. If they're going to be mutter for this Shabbos, they should mutter for any Shabbos. If you're telling me they're usher for next Shabbos, how can they be mutter for this Shabbos? So basically, this is what explains over there, that Rabbi Yossi says that it changes in the current situation. It's not defined by the onset of Shabbos. So, works out perfectly, right? I mean, Rav Huna is saying exactly what Rav Yehuda is saying. He said that it depends at the beginning of Shabbos how many people were there. And that's exactly what Rav Yehuda says, right? So he must hold only Rav Yehuda. He can't hold like Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says it changes in the middle of Shabbos if somehow or other the mechitzas fall down. And apparently Rav Yitzchak, he is Bedavka saying exactly the same thing. Rabbi Yitzchak says, well, it all depends how many people are currently there. Okay, that's exactly what Rabbi Yossi says. Perfect. It ties into a beautiful machlokas tanoim. And here is the clincher. Says Rav Huna, it is not a machlokas tanoim. I, in fact, would agree like with Rabbi Yossi. No problem. Rabbi Yossi was talking about a change in the mechitzas over the course of Shabbos. I wasn't talking about a change in the mechitzas. All that Rabbi Yossi said, Atkan lo kam Rabbi Yossi osam, ela de lesser le mechitzas. If the mechitzas changed, the mechitzas collapsed. Okay, so then, fine. I would agree to that also. That changes according to the current situation. I was talking about where there's no change in the mechitzas at all. The two cases that I was talking about, there's no change in the mechitza. The first case was how many people are there? Did someone die? Did someone come in? Or there's no connection between the two chatzeres anymore. That's not a change in mechitza. It's a change of how many people are currently in the area that require the Erev. So I'm saying in those cases, fine. The change is only in terms of the number of people. So there's no change in the mechitzas. Even Rabbi Yossi would agree to me that over there, we don't change the halacha in the middle of Shabbos. We change it according to only the way it was at the beginning of Shabbos. And Rabbi Yitzchak would say, well, I say just the opposite. I say I would work out even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda said that you were allowed to continue to carry things. That was because you have exactly the same number of people that you had before. There's no change. So all he's saying is, if you're talking about a change in the mechitzas, big deal. Whatever was mutter at the beginning of Shabbos remains mutter before. But over here, I'm saying there's no people there. The number of people have changed. The guy died in the middle of Shabbos. That is the fundamental change. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you have to change the din if there's something so fundamental. So what's the machlokas? The machlokas then is, what is the more fundamental determinant of a mechitza that is a mechitza that is being used or defined in a special case by the Rabbanan? Is the fundamental determinant the diur, or is the fundamental determinant the tsura? And remember, Rabbi Isai, we began the Masechet with this deep understanding of the difference, the two issues that need to be addressed in the dinim of Erevin. Erevin involves not only literal Erevin, which is the takon of a piece of bread, but also is a question of geometry and the type of mechitzas that we used. And we've seen that again and again. We even had a place where we thought Rabbi Yehuda was saying that the bread makes the difference in terms of defining which is a yachid, the deraisa, which was, what? That's crazy. But anyway, what we see over here is that, in fact, when it boils down to it, what is the more fundamental issue in all of these takonas? Is it the geometry, or is it the new concept of diur? This boils down to this machlokas that we have over here, which is remarkable. Now, we talked about three shitas in the Mishnah. But the truth is, if you think about the Mishnah, there's another shita that we haven't explained. And that's the Chachomim at the end of the Mishnah who respond to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. And they say, nah, doesn't matter. It could be either Shesi or Erev. You can use it. That's just repetitious. The original Chachomim said that, either Shesi or Erev. Right? Lo dibru b'shayara ela b'hoveh. I understand. So what's the difference between these two chachamim? I don't see any difference. They both hold that if you have only shesi or erev, that it's a perfectly good mechitza. You can use it whether you're a yochid, whether you're shnayim, whether you're shayara. It's exactly the same thing. So what the heck is going on over here? Ah, one question. The entire issue, remember, was raised in the case of the shayara. Now, there's two aspects of a shayara. First of all, it's a caravan. And second, which is the number of people. But secondly, you are in a camping out situation. You're not in a standard city situation. Now, that's a different question. So the ikah b'nayo yochid b'yishuv. So the chachomim at the beginning of the Mishnah, they were talking about a shayara, right? So they say, but it doesn't matter whether it's a shayara or it's a yochid. Ah. It doesn't matter whether it's a caravan, but it does matter that you're on the road and that you're camping out. Masha Enkein, the later Chachamim, they were responding to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, who said, you can't use that kind of mechitza. He wasn't talking about Shai. He's saying, never. You can never use that kind of mechitza. And they said, sure you can. You can always use that kind of mechitza. Now, always use that kind of mechitza mean a yochid and a rabim and camping out and not camping out. It's all the same. And because of that, they are obviously a four shita, which takes into consideration now, don't worry about your location. Don't worry whether this is a permanent or temporary. That's not an issue. So now we have a whole new thing to take into consideration. Not simply the number of diurin, but a special kula that was given to people who are in a state of travel. It's difficult for them to get things done. And because of that, the Chachomim were matir them, according to the Tanakhama, but only because of that, a mechitza ru'ua that consists of only shesi or only erev. And now, a word from our Kapitan, Sir Richard. Now, this Mishnah is... It was Richie who didn't drink. Richie didn't drink. He was the one who faltered. I didn't falter for a minute. Now, as you know, Richie is currently camping out, right? I mean, it's a different kind of camping out, you know, when you got three or four houses and the campsite, but he's got all of these...
permanent partitions, Rabbi.
Yeah, yeah, but not on Shabbos. You got the same problems every Shabbos. We got to sit there looking whether it's Chessy or Erev or whether the, we have to measure every single Shabbos. Disaster, love with this, that. half of every Shabbos consists of going around with rulers and surveying instruments.
Only one more Shabbos.
Well, I don't know. You haven't seen the news yet this morning. Maybe not.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, so just as Richie is camping out, there's all types of ways of camping out. So we're talking about camping out. Another way of camping out, which is more like this morning's news, is camping out in an army camp. Okay, so now there's special dinim about army camps. And this, because we've been talking about camping, we might as well get all the way and get into camping out, because there's special dinim, particularly, that are mutter in an army camp, which doesn't seem to have anything to do with our halacha, except that one of the issues has to do with Erevin. So it turns out that there are arba'a dvarim epatru b'machane. There are four things that the Rabbanan were mevater on their takonas in an army camp. And that would be even where there was no sakona at all that was involved. And that goes like this. Number one, mevinei tzimiko makom. You're allowed to go and bring firewood anywhere you find it, and you don't have to worry about gezel. Number two, you do not need to wash your hands before eating bread. Number three, you do not need to worry about demai. And you don't have to, if you get food from an amaretz, you do not have to take off trumas amaisras. You can assume that it was already taken off. And you also don't need to make an Erev. Now, we're not sure what kind of Erev we're talking about. We're talking about an Erev Tchumim, an Erev Chatzeres. We will see. Tanur Rabbanan. Machan hayotzeit milchemet harishus. Even though they're only going out to milchemet harishus, not going out to milchemet mitzvah, so milchemet harishus would be a war for expansion, let's say. Right? And you'd say, okay, so why should we give you any kind of kulas? No. Even for a milchemet harishus, you're allowed to steal even dry wood, which means that somebody's put this wood aside to dry, right? It's okay. And that is now mutter. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer, not only that, they can camp out on anybody's property, even on private property. Afchonim b'chol makom. And if anybody is chas v'shalom killed in the war, they're buried wherever they're shot. Wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? They're allowed to take wood? You're always allowed to take wood. Remember, one of the 10 tnoim that Yoshua made when he gave Eretz Yisrael out to the Shvatim, he made everyone agree to 10 conditions, which the Gemara lists in Baba Kama, but he in 10 conditions included that we're only being given the land on condition, and one of these conditions were, Shiyu Mar'in Bechurshin. That is that people are allowed to go into areas that are they're not pasture land, they're wooded lands, they're not place that you're going to they're pasture land, but they're not harvesting land, they're not agricultural land. You can let your animals go into the area, even though it belongs to someone else. And one of the other tana'im was malakti meitzim misidotehem. You are allowed to take wood from somebody else's field. So apparently that's not considered to be stealing anyway. So why are we talking about an army camp? Oh, wait a minute. What do you think? You really think you're allowed to go and take a guy's got a pile of firewood that he cut down and he's dried and so on? Of course you can't do that. The Tanai of Yoshua had three elements in it that was made it mutter. If you, any of those one things are missing, then you cannot do it. Okay. First of all, he only made the Tanai about his mivahigi. That means that they're bushes, low-class bushes, very low-level firewood that you're allowed to do. In an army camp, you're allowed to take real wood, okay? Secondly, inami, even though it says inami, it doesn't mean or, it means and. Because all of these three tanoim, as Tosfos explain, all of them are necessary in order for that tanai to be effective. Hotzam b'mechubarim, in the case of Yoshua, what he was saying is that if you see a low-lying bush, a crummy bush, hizmi vehigi, that is attached to the ground, you can cut it down. But if the guy who owns it already cut it down, and he's put in work in it, you can't take it. Hachabitulushin, mashen came here in the army camp, you could take even something that he cut down. And furthermore, inami, another additional issue, is that there it says that you're allowed to take wood that has not been dried And therefore, anyway, it's not really usable right now by the owner. It's going to just smoke up. And over here, we're saying even if the guy has cut it down, even if it's real wood, and he sat there and he's chopped it and so on, and he's left it for a year to dry, he's put a heck of a lot of work into this. And normally, you obviously are not allowed to take that because of the Tanai of Yoshua. In this case, because of the army, it is a din derabanan that they were mafkir this for the army to take. Okay, the next thing said, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema said, you're allowed to camp out wherever you want, and if someone is shot, he's buried where he is killed. I understand. What does that have to do with an army camp? Wherever we find a mate mitzvah, he's buried wherever he's found. So why is it different than, I mean, it doesn't have to be a soldier to be buried wherever he's found. As long as he's a mate mitzvah, he's buried where he's found. Ah, what we're talking about over here is lo nitzrich, or we're saying here, even though he's got plenty of people to bury him, he's like over him. He's not a mate mitzvah. He's got family members that are there. They would bury him and so on. Because as the Braita says, a mate mitzvah is not just somebody who dies on the road. A mate mitzvah is Ezra mate mitzvah, kosha ain't lo kovrim. He doesn't have anybody to take care of his needs that would be normally chayev to bury him. But if he's somebody who can say, I've been shot, and other people would come that are members of his family, and they would be coming there to take care of him, ain't se mate mitzvah. Mashain came over here. Even if he's not a mate mitzvah, he is buried where he was shot. Hey, wait a second. A mate mitzvah is buried wherever he dies? Doesn't it say beferish that amotzi meit mutar b'sratya? If you find a dead body, which is on a main road, so then you don't bury him on the road. You can move the body either to the right of the road, you put him on the shoulder, or to the left of the shoulder of the road. If you've got a choice of either bringing it to one side by a stabur where nobody put any work, and on the other side, you've got a stay near that somebody plowed. So then you bring him to the side where nobody put in any work. It's a boor. If you have a choice between a plowed field and a field where there was actual seeding done, so then obviously you put him in the one that hasn't been seeded. If both were near him, both were zroot, both were burot, then you wherever you want. But anyway, it does say that you move him. And if the halacha is that he's kind of mekameh, how do you have a right to move him at all? Omer of Bibi, that's talking about where the body was lying across the road. And if he's lying across the road, you cannot bury him on the road because of the Kohanim and Osei Tyrus. We are never marbin Tuma in Eretz Yisrael. So anyway, you got to move him. Once you got to move him, so then then we analyze where it's more effective. And the next thing you said is they don't have to do Netilat Yadayim. Says Abaye, wait. They don't have to do Netilas Yadayim before eating, but they do need to do Netilas Yadayim after eating. Ma'im Aharonim Chova. And therefore, even in the army camp, they would have to do that. Why is that? I mean, I would have thought it's the opposite. I mean, Ma'im Aharonim, nobody seems to care that much about. But that first Ma'im, everybody cares about that. No. Om Rebchia Barashi, Mipnei Ma'amru, Ma'im Aharonim Chova. Mipnei Shemelach Sidomit Yeshem Nisameh Etar Einayim. That's because it's Sakana. And we're certainly not going to let you endanger your eyesight because of the fact that you're too lazy to wash your fingers. And Omer Abaye, this type of salt is found in such low concentration. You got one grain of such salt in an entire kur, which is like 30 bushels of regular salt. And Alpha Pekin, we're not going to let you off. Now, Tosis points out that in his time, people were not makpid on Mayim Aharonim. And that's because either the Melach Sedomit was not Matsui in Europe, or it's because of the fact that the whole idea of getting salt on your fingers was because the Chachamim said to you to utilize salt, Acher Kol Achilatcha, Kol Melach, so you would always dip your fingers in salt. We were worried that maybe a little bit of the salt would attach itself. We who don't do that, says Tosis, maybe that's why we're not makbid. Anyway, how about if a guy didn't eat and all he was doing is he works in a factory that ships salt out to different places, so he measures salt all day and puts it into boxes. Would he needs to do Mayim Achronim? Omalei, you're darn right he does. But that's a question. Of course he needs to do Mayim Achronim. Just because you're used to think about Mayim Achronim as relating to food, it's not even with food, it has to do with salt. The next thing we said is that he's potter from Tumai. And that's because, as we learned in the opening Mishnah, over there in the third paragraph of Demai, Ma'achilina ta'aniyim Demai. It says you could give Aniyim Demai and Aksanai Demai. So assuming that Aksanai, which according to Rashi over here, is talking about Jewish Aksanai soldiers, you can give them to eat Demai. Omer Ravuna, Tana Beit Shammai Omrim, Eim Achilin Et Aniyim Demai Vet Aksanai Demai. It's Beis Hillel who says, Machilim Et Aniyim Demai Vet Aksanai Demai. And the next thing we said was, is that they do not have to make an Erev. What type of Erev? Says Rabbi Yanai, that's talking about they don't need to make an Erev Chatzera. So they're all considered, let's say they have different walls between the encampments, you know, for Company A, Company B, and so on. Then one Rosh Hashanah, another Rosh Hashanah in an army camp are all considered to be one Rosh Hashanah. But if they're going to be traveling on Shabbos, they do need to make an Erev Tichumim. The Tani Rabbi Chia, an Erev Tchumim is the Araisa. You get Malkus for going out of your Tchum. Lokino Erev Tchumim, Dvar Torah, apparently like the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Matkifla, Rabbi Yonatan, even if you hold it, it's the Araita, you certainly don't get Malkus on it, because all it says is Al. V'chi Lokin Alav Sheba'al. Is there such a thing as Malkus for an Al? Now, we're not sure what that means. What do you mean, Al? Al is just another way of saying low, isn't it? Matkiv Ravacha Bar Yaakov, I understand. You know how many lavim there are that are al lavim? How about al tifnu ala avot v'ala yidonim? Huh? You're telling me there's no malchus for over yidoni? Man, that's very chumra. So, halkanami to lalaki? Of course there's malchus. So what are you saying? Rabbi Yonason wasn't talking about the al part. Rabbi Yochanan was saying that al, meaning this particular al, they say ish mimakomo, is a lav shenitan lazarat mitat beit din, because it also comes to tell me that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. But carrying on Shabbos is a chiyuv skila. And the rule is that any azara that is nitan misas bezdin cannot be used for being mechayiv yom malchus. So therefore, where's the azara for malchus on going out of the tchum? Omer Ravashi, this is not about carrying. You don't know the difference between al yetzei and al yotzi, for heaven's sakes? They're two different things. Al yotzi means don't carry. Al yetzei means don't go out. And all it says over here is al yetzei. We would never have thought, even if it's a remiss to carrying, we would then use it to tell me that there's the concept of both from Hachnosa and Hotzara. Nonetheless, I mean, the actual meaning of al is al yetzei. And because of that, it is not considered to be a lav that is nitan lazaras misas bezdin hadran alach mavoi.